You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Wednesday, the 4th of July. We're racing in the afternoon at Musselburgh, Worcester and Thirsk, and in the evening, Bedlestown over in Ireland for a flat card, Kempton on the all-weather, and Bath as well. In fact, I say Bedlestown for a flat card, they're all flat cards except for Worcester, of course, on Wednesday, a day very much focusing on the level as summer comes towards its height, and it's live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Join the guys in the studio for all the day's racing. Here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, and I'm joined by John O'Connell. Two Johns here in the studio. John, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, John, and how are you?
I'm very good. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
We'll take a look at a couple of the stories that are in the news in the world of racing today, yep. First up. And we'll start off with the news that US Navy flag is going to run in the July Cup. I'm not sure everyone saw this coming. O'Brien has been saying, Aidan O'Brien, that he basically wants to plot out a path now for him to run in a number of the biggest sprints for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I definitely get this. He has been ridden so aggressively at a mile the last few runs, and he hasn't been getting home at all at a mile, ridden that way. I think he'd be okay at a mile ridden more conservatively, but they really have been very, very strong gunning him right from the start. So I think they'll drop back to 6 furlongs, especially at Newmarket on the July course. It's yet another track that seems to favour front runners or horses ridden handily. Is it going to be a different game for him taking on suddenly these real seasons, top-notch sprinters? But I can definitely see why they're doing it. Well, they're going that way. The market has been hinting that this has been the plan for a little while, because any fancy double-figure prices after Ascot went. So the 6-1 or 5-1 now that he is no more than fair. It's just about the right price. If you're on a double-figures, good luck to you. I think you've got a good bet on your hands. Not quite sure about at the moment, especially as Harry Angels is saying he's a... to quote the trainer, in a better place than he thought he'd be after Ascot, and he looks as if he will be a runner in the race as well.
Would you be interested in Harry Angel, you know, given what happened at Ascot? And
no.
It's quite a quick turnaround, isn't it?
It is. I'm not saying he couldn't win, but I just wouldn't back him, just given the fact that it's unlikely to reoccur what happened at Ascot. But in a red-hot race where you can afford nothing to go wrong at the start, I'd happily sit out and just watch the race as regards to backing, having a bet on Harry Angel. So if he ran it, good luck to him, and let's him win and do well. But he won't actually be carrying my money, just because I'll just be a little bit wary after Ascot. And it's going to be a hot race. Blue Point, the Kingstown winners in there as favourite. I mentioned the US Navy flag. Ectidar, the Commonwealth Cup winners in there. Loads of top-notch sprinters. So you can't afford to give anything away at the start. So he may be fine, Harry Angel, but I'll just sit out backing him.
Looking at the sprint scene for the rest of the season, do we think we're going to have a superstar who's going to come out and hold all before him? Blue Point would be an obvious candidate for that, or are we going to see much more of a level playing field with the Group 1s going to other contenders?
They could be spread around a bit. We've also got Dreamfield in the race. Now, I know he let supporters down in the Wokingham handicap, but it was still a good run, and he's still improving. I wouldn't be surprised if he became a bit of a player in this race. Lamato is in there, but I think this is his trip, Lamato, but he's just... I'm running out of excuses for the horse. I think a lot of people now
I think Connections are running out of excuses for
Yeah, they've had some pretty good excuses, haven't they, in fairness? But they've gone through the excuses dictionary on that one, but I think other people are losing a little bit of faith in the horse, so he wouldn't be for me.
I think with Lamato, you've got to look at his recent runs, and just if you can say which I think you can, that the horse doesn't stay a mile.
Yeah, that's absolutely definitely doesn't.
Last two starts over a mile, forget about that. One over 7 furlongs on last start last season, beating only half a length in the Lennox prior to that, and before that beaten by Harry Angel, and that was in the July Cup. So if you take out his mile, his form over a mile, the picture is a bit more rosy.
Absolutely. I don't think that he's going to be any better than he was last year. So given the fact that he was just behind Harry Angel then and there's other younger improvers in the race, I'd be happy to pass on L'Amato winning the race anyway. Although I think this is the right angle for him to go on anyway. I think Ectidale has been a little bit underplayed in the market following the Ascot win, the Commonwealth Cup. Before that, he ran poorly at Newbury. He ran in at Newbury the two-day meeting. There were, I wouldn't say funny results, but it was all to do with where you were on the track, on the straight course. Anything racing underneath the stand rails may as well not have turned up at that two-day meeting. The lock-in stakes, for example, you had to be drawn towards the far side and centre of the course. And the sprint that never backed down won on the first race on the Saturday, anything drawn on the near side just never got a look in. So Ectidale came from the wrong side then, showed that to be all wrong at Ascot. And I think he's a player in the Newmarket race. I think he could be a little bit of value in the race. Now that the value seems to be squeezed away from the US Navy flag, I'd probably be looking at Ectidale at this stage.
I mean, a Group 1 winner, best run of his career was last time out. So Michael Stout having a good season, it ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, fast ground absolutely fine for him. I think, looking at the forecast, there'll still be watering this time next week.
Yeah.
So
4 weeks of this this season, yeah. Might be getting. So
it's memories of 76 for us old enough to remember that. You'd want to be on a fast ground horse. A lot of them are fast ground horses. But he was an improved horse there at Ascot last time, and I certainly wouldn't dismiss him.
That's the Newmarket July Cup. The Group 1 will be live on Racing Radio over here at William Hill, along with the rest of the Newmarket July meeting on the July course. Join us for that in a couple of weeks' time. But now we'll turn our attention to the racing coming up on Wednesday. And, John, you've got two selections for us.
They are. We'll get them to Thirsk first for the 350 race. It's quite a competitive little 6 furlong sprint, 8 runners. And the good thing about Thirsk tomorrow is that, unlike quite a few tracks at the moment, their cards have held up.
Mm.
They've got a 3 or 4 double-figure races. There's 8 in the 350 race. A couple of them come here with wins last time up, including Al Jardy, who is a very hard horse to assess. It's 2 from 2, won once as a 2-year-old. It's the only 3-year-old in the race tomorrow, won at Redcar and come back a few weeks ago. Very hard to know what it achieved. It beat the second that day, who was disappointing. I don't know where we are with that horse at the moment. So it'll be a different sort of test for Al Jardy tomorrow. And whilst I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he was good enough to win, the one I'm going with is Musica, number 2, from the David O'Mara Yards, Daddy Tallopop. I don't think I'm alone in this, saying I struggle to get the O'Mara Yard right. I think he often seems to be in decent form, but actually nailing one of his down to win isn't always the easiest thing. This one is in good form at the moment. It's only won one of his last 3 races. It should have been definitely 2 of the last 3 and possibly all 3. Good run 6 weeks ago at Haydock, second to Maiden India, then won at Ayr really smoothly, beaten a horse called Shepherd's Purse. The last race, though, at Nottingham was the one that sort of got away. It was very fast ground, like we'll see again tomorrow. Beaten a neck by Barrington when it was odds on. It simply should have won. Wasn't Danny Tudup's finest hour. He went for a gap, which closed, and by the time he got going again, it was just a little bit too late. He's £3 higher tomorrow, but he would have won that day anyway, and given the horse is in generally good form at the moment, I'm happy to give him another chance. And, yeah, I think Musica, 350 tomorrow at Thirsk, could be the one.
Musica, the first selection from John, then, for racing coming up on Wednesday. What about your second selection?
We're going to the all-weather at Kempton in the evening. The 750 race. There's a few good races on the card, actually, at Kempton tomorrow. The 750, the 2-miler, is the one that caught my eye. There's a few improvers in this. One horse I do like, and I was pretty close to putting him up, but I've just shied away from it. It's Just In Time, the Alan King horse, who completed a hat-trick at the end of last season. I would forgive him his last defeat last winter. The only problem with the horse is that we haven't seen him now for 8 months, and I wonder if there's been a problem.
Yeah.
Given that there's no logical reason why he shouldn't have been so far this season. So the one I'm looking at in that race is the one, number six on the card, Petitioner from Roger Charlton Stable. Very lightly raced, four-year-old. I think this is a big opportunity for it tomorrow. Harry Bentley gets the ride. Unfortunately, Kieran Schumacher had a horrible fall the other day at Lingfield, so he'll be out for quite a while.
Terrible incident, that, wasn't it?
It was. Wishing well there. So Harry Bentley, the beneficiary in this horse, and I think there'll be some good spare mounts going around from the Roger Charlton yard now for the summer. Just had the five career runs, so he's definitely a slow burner. The run last time at Kempton was decent, third behind a horse called Buzz. Buzz actually runs in the preceding race at 7:20, so if that wins, that will be a nice little boost. The runner-up on that occasion was Dash of Spice, the David Ellsworth horse, who has improved massively since. Absolutely bolted up in a big handicap at Epsom on Derby Day, and then landed a real gamble in the finale at Royal Ascot on the Friday. And he's an awful lot higher in the weights now. This horse is only £1 higher, Petitioner, the third horse. The other thing about him is the fact he's now stepping up to 2 miles. That was over a mile and three. It's a bit of a leap. Yeah. 5 furlongs all in one hit. But he's got a half-brother horse called Biographer, who raced in these colours for David Lanigan about 5 years ago. He was decent at 2 miles. This horse this time last year, won over a mile and a half and only his second start. So I think a mile six plus is going to be fine for him. They normally don't go too hard in these 2 miles in the all weather. So I think everything should be okay.
And by Dan Seeley as well, who does sire some stays.
He does, yeah. He's got form at the track. So everything in place, I think, for a big run for Petitioner tomorrow. And hopefully that'll complete the double.
Petitioner then in that 7:50 at Kempton for John. It's live on Racing Radio. Please do join us from 1:50 in the afternoon for all the day's racing. Join us again tomorrow on the Daily Racing Podcast as well. John, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.